Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening in on another episode of Cinemafiles Radio. I'm giddy today because my radio is not working. I can play my music, turn it down a little lower, and actually talk. I'm your host, Steve Pisa. Thank you very much for joining us today on Cinemafiles Radio. We got some great guests today. Robin Steffen from The Lackey, from Phase 2, from Naked Zombie Girl, close friend of our group, here today to join us. We love him. Great sense of humor. Can't wait to have him on. Thank you, Robin, in advance for joining us today. We took a little hiatus. I want to go through the holidays, you know, and enjoy myself. I don't want to think too hard about anything else. Plus, you know how it is with guests and what have you. It's very difficult to get guests around the holidays. Everybody's jumping around and mixing around, and Sundays are often taken by family. So why not take it off for ourselves? We had a great time. How was your holidays? How was your Easter? Not your Easter. How was your Christmas? Your Hanukkah? Your Kwanzaa? How was your New Year's? Did you already break your New Year's resolution? 2015? Not to eat that one thing, not to drink that one thing. You ready to break that thing? Call us up. 657-383-1444. 383-1444. And the area code is 657. I'm very grateful for you guys listening today. I couldn't wait to be back on the air. A lot of cool news. A lot of cool movie news going around today. This week, last month. First of all, congratulations to Shane Graham and Boyhood, a Richard Linklater, which won a plethora of awards at the Golden Globes. If you listen to the two episodes he was on, you'll see I called it. That movie was going to be a hit. It's obviously a hit. It was revolutionary. See, very few times the movies ever take that next step, that next level of pushing filmmaking to a revolutionary style. Now, people often will think it's subject matters. It's not necessarily subject matter. Sometimes it's pacing, timing, the way you put a film together. Just look at Quentin Tarantino. The first time you ever saw Pulp Fiction, that was very difficult to kind of understand his pacing and timing. Everything was out of sync, if you will. So it was a beautiful film, but it kind of confused you at first. Like, what's happening here? I don't quite understand. You see Baz Luhrmann plays with time as well. When you look at Boyhood is literally playing with time by filming through different decades of these children's lives. It's incredible how it works out. The coordination, Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette are in the film. I mean, they're incredible. Bringing the family together, bringing the movie together, making it cohesive. Richard Linklater making it cohesive. And I love Shane Graham, and he was great. So it was a really fantastic movie, Boyhood. Boyhood, by Richard Linklater. Watch it. So congratulations to Shane Graham. We're looking forward to some awesome things from you. Other movie news. Have you seen Inherent Vice by P.T. Anderson? No, it got a lot of bad reviews on Fandango. Not that I trust them, but it got a couple bad reviews for some people. I don't understand what your bad reviews are about. You know, some people were saying it was boring. Some people were saying it was highfalutin. Some people were saying I kept an open mind. Well, if you kept an open mind, then you would have enjoyed it. I saw it in the 70mm print at the Arclight in Hollywood, and I enjoyed it. No. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Going from The Master to this film, I think Joaquin Phoenix's performance was brilliant. Josh Brolin was brilliant in this film. P.T. Anderson's flavor of timing and cinematics and script and dialogue just came through. It was the closest to Magnolia that I've seen a film that he's made since. It is really a fantastic. So Inherent Vice, that is a fantastic, fantastic movie. So we have Boyhood, we have Inherent Vice, and the next movie I'm going to tout its claim for, which is well, first let me get to a negative before I get to that last positive. American Sniper. Okay. I did not like this film at all. Not even a little. And if people think they're going to win an Oscar for doing this film, good luck. First of all, David O. Russell's film was not, to me, anything special. It was not like a Hurt Locker. And I felt like the acting was subpar. I mean, you can act like, you know, Sling Blade all day long. And by the way, now that I said Sling Blade, try watching that film again, not thinking that he was acting like Sling Blade the entire time. Got a Sling Blade here. I'm going to peel me some potatoes. Got to shoot me somebody out of my sniper scope. He had no personality. I mean, the time that Sienna Miller has more personality than the main characters beyond my comprehension. So, yeah, I did not like that movie at all. At all. I was greatly disappointed by that. But David O. Russell's been slipping. I mean, Silver Linings Playbook was a good film. The Wrestler was okay. But he's, you know, Ired Huckabee's I really enjoyed. But he's one of those people that's very aggressive and very, I would say, mentally ill, personally. Incredibly mentally ill. If you ever want to see how David O. Russell treats people, watch YouTube and type in David O. Russell and you'll see a bunch of things on Lily Tomlin. And when he cusses at Lily Tomlin is a Hollywood legend. That's pretty insane to me. So, yeah, I did not like the film at all, American Sniper, at all. So I would suggest seeing that through a copy or renting it or waiting for it to come out on cable. Trust me on this one. It's not special. It's not fantastically acted. It's not fantastically paced. The music isn't great. The story isn't fantastic. It doesn't have much of a resolution. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, and to a certain extent, as being an Oscar-worthy film. So I personally would skip it. Now, what does that mean? Go see the film anyways. Who cares what a person thinks about a movie? Go see it. Enjoy it. I personally did not like it. So the first movie, second movie, Inherent Vice. Third movie is going to be American Sniper. Ooh, that first movie, I'm starting to, my memory is starting to lapse today. So the fourth movie that I really, really enjoyed was Birdman, Michael Keaton. That was a great, great movie. I don't want to say a lot about it, but it very much is in the Terry Gilliam fashion of storytelling, very much like Brazil. It's the pacing is a little off. It goes into fantasy, but is a fantasy a real thing? Where are we going with this? It's really an incredible film. Michael Keaton, they're saying that Michael Keaton's performance is revolutionary or the best that he's ever done or yada, yada, yada. I would kind of agree with that. But I would say that he's acting a lot like Beetlejuice. That's not a bad thing. It's been so far apart from him playing Beetlejuice. It does feel like Beetlejuice to me a little bit. And by the way, the first film was Boyhood by Richard Linklater. So Boyhood right there, and you have, you know, American Sniper that I didn't very much like, Inherent Vice that I did very much like, and then Birdman that I very, very much enjoyed as well. I watched Foxcatcher. I enjoyed it for what it was, but it was a little long in the tooth. It's definitely a first-time watcher, but not a bad film. So these are the films that I've been watching lately that I enjoy. Inherent Vice I've seen literally 5 times now. So I love that film. And like I said, coming from The Master, the movie The Master, and going to Inherent Vice, you can see why Joaquin Phoenix was nominated for an Oscar. Quite easily, as a matter of fact. So it's incredible. It's an incredible film. So those are my opinions. Those are my opinions on films and what I think of movies that I've seen lately. They'll change through time, just like Blade Runner changed for a lot of people as well. When it first came out, they had one opinion. Later on, they had another. Will I change my mind about American Sniper? No, I will not. I thought the movie was a bit of a piece of garbage, personally. But that's just my personal opinion. So what's some cool news coming out of Hollywood this week? Something that's hard to find, hard to hear, all those things. You know, maybe you live in North Dakota and you don't get all the news. You watch E! Entertainment and that's where you get it from. So what news came out this week? Spider-Man most likely is going over to Marvel. By the way, when I mean most likely, I mean by an 80 percentile, it's going over to Marvel. They have two scripts right now for Captain America Civil War. One that has the Black Panther as being the person who takes off his mask, and the other one that has Black Panther and Spider-Man. And Spider-Man will take off his mask. So we don't know which one they're going to take. We don't know which one they're going to go with. I'll bet you $1 million that they're aiming towards the Spider-Man one right now. Why is Sony selling a percentage or a perspective of the rights back to Marvel? Well, for instance, Marvel could make a billion-dollar Spider-Man movie, and with the conditions that Sony gives them, they'll make all their money back, including some, based on a movie that they didn't even have to put money into. Because they know that Marvel has the package. They know that they have the audience. So instead of making four stinkers or five stinkers, they can make one great Marvel movie and make more money than they've ever made before. And it's mostly because they're not participating in the economic value of it. So think about that for a second. That's incredible. I know to a lot of people that a lot of people don't understand that X-Men's at 20th Century Fox and Spider-Man is at Sony and all the rest of them are at Marvel. Marvel Disney, you know? And you want to get, at least now you want to get Spider-Man over. So I originally told you an argument, and I stand by my argument, that spreading out these franchises was a smart thing to do. It forced Marvel, it forced all these other companies to look at what were their projects, what were their films, what do they have in the docket. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy would never have come out if they had a Spider-Man. Why would it? Why would they venture into the Inhumans if they have Spider-Man? So it was almost like character competition. It was really nice. And for a while there, it did spread it out nicely. Now, when you see X-Men Last Stand by Brett Ratner, of course you go, wow, it should go back to Marvel. Not necessarily. They had a stumble. They went back on with X-Men First Class. But with Spider-Man, they had five chances. And they blew it. They were even going to do a standalone Aunt May story. I mean, come on. When you're going to do a standalone Aunt May story, that's not like a standalone Yoda film. Yes, please call in 657-383-1444. Our excellent guest, Robin Steffen, is waiting for us right now. I would love to hear some news from you. You can type some things in here in our chat line as well. I'd love to hear some questions about his white tidy pants and the Lucky. But thank you very much for listening today. So that is my thing about Spider-Man. I really cannot wait for the news to come out that he's going over to Marvel so everybody can celebrate finally and we can see Spider-Man the way that Spider-Man was meant to be done by Marvel. See, I grew up with Spider-Man. Spider-Man was, to me, the antithesis of every kind of teenage boy were, you know, super smart, or at least smart for his age. Not very strong, but strong at will. And then along the way, he becomes the person he's supposed to be. When you watch the last ones with Andrew Garfield, that guy does parkour. He jumps across walls. He is kind of charismatic and kind of cute. And it's really kind of a weird storytelling. So, oh, by the way, I heard one of the reasons why Andrew Garfield was why they wanted to fire him. And this came out with the Sony leaks. Was that when the Sony president in Japan ended the meeting for, I guess, Spider-Man 3 or Spider-Man 2 or whatever. He stood up, and before the Japanese president could stand up, Andrew Garfield stood up. And from that point on, he wanted him fired. So that's a very interesting concept right there. Like, to a certain extent, he didn't understand the respect level of the environment that he was in. So the big news right now is Spider-Man is going over to Marvel. We're going to find out that news this week. Stay tuned. All right, we're going to bring on our first guest today, Robin Steffen. We love this guy. He's been in lots of projects throughout our lives here. Just to name off a few, we've been Lackey, in Golden California, Phase 2, Spooked, The Blackwater Vampire, Naked Zombie Girl that just came out, Spare Change. Movies that are coming out very soon, which is Home Free the Movie and In Brick Madness. We've been looking forward to having this guest on for a long time. Let's all welcome Robin Steffen. Robin.
Hello there.
Hey, they love you. How you doing, my friend?
How's it? Very well, yourself?
Very good, thank you. So we've been trying to get you on the show for a long time. You're one of our favorites. Every time we do like a red carpet, we can't wait for you to be on the red carpet because you have such a great sense of humor. You're very affable. You're very friendly. Let me ask you a question before we get into all the history and all the other junk. Do you find that to be an advantage in the medium that you're in, that you are as nice as you are and that you do work well with people?
I've always been kind of a people person, so it's always definitely helped out. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into the backstory of how Phase 2 came along, but if it wasn't for that kind of personality trait, you know, Phase 2 probably would have never happened, which wouldn't have led to the lackey, which wouldn't have led to all this and everything. So, right. Yeah, I feel like a great advantage I have is, you know, being that kind of people person. So.
Now, Robin, the first time I ever met you was on the Lackey filming. You're one of our characters in the film. But going back, was it always a drive of yours to be an actor, or did you have other aspirations when you were young?
Actually, no. It wasn't my initial dream. I actually wanted to be a cook. I wanted to be a pastry cook growing up, and I grew up in Las Vegas. I worked in hotels, and I did cook for a while. And then at some point, my life switched over, and I started being a valet, and I realized that I made way more money working for tips than I did being a cook, and that kind of crushed my dreams of doing that. And then at some point, I just I got over living in Las Vegas, and one of my best friends and my roommate, Reggie, he got me into doing improv in Las Vegas, and eventually that kind of consumed my life, and at some point, it was just time to go.
So you did improv. How was improv? Because that is one of the most difficult things to do as an actor, because you have to just think off the board, or someone will say, chalk, I do a whole thing on this.
So
yourself in the foot. How was that?
It's good. I mean, that's all I know. It's me. That's my life. That's been my life. I've been doing improv for 9 years now. That's what took me into wanting to be an actor, and that's what brought me to L.A., everything that I've learned and, you know, how to be a better person, I even want to say, all came from doing improv. I mean, so many amazing people I've been surrounded by, some of the most intelligent people and people that really push you and make you try harder. You know, there's nothing better. So,
Was there anybody in particular, were there any guiders or mentors in particular that were there in that one group that propelled you even further, or was it pretty much just a whole group kind of atmosphere?
I mean, I have so many teachers I could list off that really just pushed me. I mean, one of my biggest mentors and my still current coach, and Brian James O'Connell, is just one of the best human beings in the world. Funny story that I'm sure we'll get into when we get to Lackey stuff, but the gentleman that played Jean-Baptiste, Mark, him and I used to do a two-man show together with this same coach doing improv. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you knew how that story came along and everything, but...
No, I did not.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark and I have had a very long history before even the Lackey came along, so... Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's one of the best guys I ever met, and we used to just have a great time, Mark and I, so...
Oh, that's awesome. So you started off in Vegas, you did improv. And then what sparked off the move to Los Angeles?
Well, I studied with, at the time, Second City was in Las Vegas. They used to have a show with the Tropicana. So they had a conservatory out in Vegas. And like I said, my roommate, Reggie, he got me into doing it. And we started doing improv. And eventually we just, you know, went the course of the conservatory there. And at the end, I was like, I want more of this. You know, I want to keep going. There was nothing else in Vegas. That was just kind of it. So it was pretty much either we were going to move to Chicago and pursue improv there, or move to LA and, you know, pursue improv here. We jumped on plane. We went to both, went to Chicago, came to LA. I could not do Chicago to save my life. The weather and me don't get along. We just decided, yep, we're coming to LA. It's still close enough to home. And yeah, we just got up and went. And then I've, you know, studied IO West out here, studied Second City out here, studied UCB out here. So just kept it going.
How long were you doing things out here until you got maybe your first notice or your first break, or somebody first noticed that you as an actor are worth something different than everybody else? How long did it take when you first got out here?
The first break was Phase 2, and that was probably... It was a while. I mean, I want to say it was probably 3.5 years in.
Wow.
Maybe closer to four. Yeah. It took a while. I mean, but it's such a tough city to get acclimated to, you know, and I've been told that, and I've seen it happen to 100 people at this point and everything. And it really is. I mean, especially coming from somewhere like Las Vegas, which is, it's very cheap to live there. It's very easy to live there. And then you move here and it's like, wow. Okay. Like, it's real now.
Yeah. Yeah. The game is on.
Yeah, yeah. So, they say it takes about a year to get acclimated, and I agree. It took me about about a year to really get on my feet, and then, you know, just kept pushing and pushing, and eventually it worked out.
Well, I see that one of your first ever clips was Population Suicide, and that was a mm-hmm. short that you did in 2008. Did you do that out here in L.A., or did you do that? Yeah,
yeah, I did. That? It was one of my good friends, Corey Pendergast, who's he's an actor out here. He had some success early on and everything. It was a short that he did, and it was like my first, you know, experience is, you know, doing some actual on-camera acting. It wasn't anything too crazy, but it was such a great experience, and I got to work with some great friends and everything. So, yeah, so that was
That's
a lot
awesome.
Of fun. Yeah.
How different was it to transfer over from being a play? And you know, you have that blocking where you have to face a stage, and you know how to present yourself. But how different was it from going from a stage play or going from an audience to going to a camera?
It's funny because I always found it very easy. It kind of just always worked for me. Like I understand stage well. I don't have a hard time finding the camera at all. It all just fit naturally to me. You know, I always say, you know, some people are made for certain things. I could never play basketball in my life. I'm 5'4". It's never going to happen. But, you know, just being on camera works for me. It's just, it always has. And, you know, I hope I can keep it going, and it always will.
You're incredibly photogenic. It's you know, it's amazing when I meet you, you know, you're a small package. I don't think I'm kind of exaggerating that.
No, not at all.
Right? But you're one of the sweetest guys, and you're very friendly, and you're very funny and naturally funny. It was shocking to see you in certain things and to see your attitude change. You don't see that very often in human beings, that especially young actors, for them to be able to make that transformation the way they do. It's quite impressive. So you went from Population Suicide, you went into The Deadlines playing Simon. How was that experience like for you?
The Deadlines was so fun. That was with Jason Sanders, actually, who, you know, Jason, and yeah. Blake Hooks. And I don't know if you knew the story behind The Deadlines, but they wanted to do a movie in 24 hours. And that's what we did. They rented a cabin up in, where were we? I can't remember where it was anymore, but we rented a cabin, and we shot the movie beginning to end in 24 hours. And it was quite an experience. Ricky Bird was on that. It was fun, but I hope I never do that again.
it was tough then, right?
I'm sorry?
So it was tough then, right?
Oh, it was very tough. It was good for about the first maybe 16 hours, and then it just started dipping off rapidly towards, you know, the last few, and more rapidly. I just remember one point sitting on the couch and then waking up at some point. You just pass out anywhere you can, not even realizing it. I know Blake was caught sleeping, standing straight up against the wall at one point. So it was just,
I know that feels.
It was just an experience.
Well, let's get to the story. I couldn't wait to get through it. Just, you know, when I first met you, I met you on the Lackey movie, and I couldn't wait to meet you on that. Please tell me, how did you get involved with the Lackey movie, directed by Sean Piccinino and Jason Sanders? How did you get involved in that project, and what you did? You know, what part were you going for? But let's go back to the original question, which was, how did you get involved?
Oh, what's great is, you know, I'm internally grateful for meeting Jason Sanders and Sean Piccinino, Ricky Bird, all those wonderful people who have been such a big part of my life and have brought me onto so many things. And I got involved with Sean. We had actually met on Phase 2. And Sean and I, obviously, we had a great friendship right off the bat. And I remember him talking about wanting to do the Lackey. I remember him having like little parts of the script or idea on his phone, and we were, you know, he'd show little bits and we'd talk about it. And then, you know, after Phase 2 was done, it actually came to fruition, and him and Jason got it going. And then, you know, he called me up. I feel like Sean always had the idea that he wanted me to play Gerard. So when it actually came to be, you know, he called me up and asked me if I would do it. And I was more than excited to. Such a great opportunity. I mean, my whole background is comedy, and I've always loved comedy, but in an ideal world, I would always love to play the villain, the bad guy. I love to play the bad guy. And that was the first time I ever actually got to do it. And actually the last time I ever got to do it. I haven't played one since, unfortunately. I keep getting, you know, that typecast, the funny character kind of guy, but I just...
play, You play a good bad guy. I mean, the funny thing is that the bad guy that has a sense of humor is quite dangerous. And that's the interesting thing about you as a bad guy, is that you have a sense of humor, which means you have a personality, thus charisma. And that's a scary bad guy. You play Gerard Baptiste in the film. And the thing I noticed from it a lot was a lot of cussing. Opposed to the script that we wrote, it was hilarious. But when I, you know, what's funny is that when I looked at a lot of other films, there was way more F words than we ever used in that film. I mean, way more. Yeah. But so let's. I want to talk about, because when people watch the film, everybody watched the Lackey movie, and right now it's on YouTube right now for $1.99. It's really awesome. But you'll see Gerard Baptiste, played by Robert Stephanie, and he's running down. And he has white pants on, and they change twice. Robin, please tell us a story about those white pants.
This story is going to haunt me forever. Those pants. So originally, the pants fit just fine. The problem was is that we had shot the scene where I got shot in the leg first. And, of course, those pants became soiled and bloodied. And then we had to go back and do a reshoot of me running down the alleyway. Well... We realized that we couldn't use those pants anymore because there was just no way to salvage them. So we had to make an emergency decision and go to a thrift store on a whim. And I'm pretty sure it was just Ricky and I that went to go buy those. And the only pants that even matched in color was this pair that just happened to be too short. So watching that scene just cracks me up so much. Just running down the alleyway, and the pants are just a little too short. That's a great memory.
It looks a little like forced perspective, you know, that they're getting tighter, they're getting looser. They're getting tighter, they're getting looser.
Oh, it's so
tell
good,
me, you worked a lot with these characters before in other films, obviously. What was it like working on this film with them as well, being a different character?
This film was great. I had so much fun because, you know, I've done a handful of films now, and, you know, normally you'll shoot everything straight through, you know, like phase two, you know, we filmed it straight through. The Lackey, you know, we filmed it in sections, basically. So it was great because it was like I got to hang out with my friends over and over and over again rather than just for a long period of time at once. And that's what was so great about that film, was it was like we were making a movie, but I was hanging out with my friends, you know, and I got to do it, you know, a weekend a month for, you know, X amount of months. It was so great. You know, we just kept showing up and just doing it. And it was nice to have that different dynamic because phase two, Sean and I had totally different, you know, chemistry about who we were. And in this film, yeah, it's so different, just this different learning experience and everything. It was such a great experience for me in my life.
Let's talk a little about phase two, because phase two was actually the movie that was made before The Lackey. And we actually were able to piggyback off the production of of phase two in order to make The Lackey. So let's you know, we actually need to double back a bit in order, because Phase Two was actually really released in 2013, while The Lackey was released in 2012. So tell me about Phase Two. How did you get into that film? Because I went to go see it. I enjoyed it. It was directed by Jason Sanders. Tell me about that project. How did you get involved in that? And then let's go into that leeway and how we shifted over to The Lackey from that film.
Absolutely. Phase Two was so much fun. I just, you know, it was such a great first experience in my life. And it came about, I was actually a server at a restaurant, you know, it's this story. And all those kids came down, you know, Jason, Ricky, Matt Thompson, they were all down in LA doing casting. And they happened to come into the restaurant I was working at. And randomly enough, and how life just kind of works out, it was my day off. And one of the girls, she was feeling sick and asked me last minute if I could work. And you know, it was that whole, I don't want to go to work, I'm being lazy, but I could use the money. So, sure, I picked up the shift, went in, wound up taking their table, and, you know, just was being me, and, you know, just started giving them, you know, hell at the table, and just being that person. They loved it, they ate it up, and by the end, they had asked me to, like, you know, we're here casting for a movie, would you like to come in and read for us? And it was that whole, yeah, sure, whatever, why not, you know, not believing it. But I went in the next day, and they actually had me come in and read for them, and it went very well. One of my favorite stories is it was still, you know, kind of early. I was still figuring out the whole acting thing, and I didn't have a headshot yet. So when I went in, they asked me for a headshot, and I was like, oh, I don't have one. So I just took a piece of paper that they had, and I drew myself for them, and
oh my
gave
God.
Him that as my headshot, and I'm pretty sure Jason Sanders still has that lying around somewhere. still. So said he was always going to hold on.
They
to
still
that.
Hired you.
Yeah, and they still hired me.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Yep.
You play Eric Sampson in the film. I really liked your character in the film. We have the incomparable Lauren Parkinson in the film as well. Just Sylvia's in the film as well. Sean Paul mm-hmm. Piccinino played Frank Baskin. Tell us about the movie and who did you play and did you enjoy the film? Tell me.
Oh, God, I had so much fun on that movie. I still say to this day that's the most fun I've ever had, you know, on a film. It was just such a blast, and the people were amazing. You know, I'm still friends with everybody from that. Matt Phillips was in that movie, who I did Brick Madness with, which was great. Brick Madness is Justin McAleese, who I met on that film. Obviously, Sean was in that movie, you know, who we did The Lackey with, and Lauren, and gosh, so many people were in that movie. Just thinking about it now, just blows my mind. But yeah, it was definitely fun.
And we finished, you know, phase two, and then how did you transfer over to become the new character in The Lackey? As soon as the production transferred over from phase two to The Lackey, did Sean just see you and say, you got to be in this film?
Well, in phase two, it was all comedy for myself. I mean, it's a dark movie, but Matt Thompson right. and I were picked up to be the funny characters, you know, and the chemistry between us worked out so well in that whole film. Our characters definitely worked in that. And then, you know, I wish I could tell you why Sean saw it in me, but he did, and I'm very grateful that he did, because it was, you know, I got to stretch my acting skill and try something I haven't got to try before that I really wanted to, and Sean thought I could do it, and I'm very grateful that he gave me that chance.
Right. You know, there's something about you, I've seen you on several red carpets, that has people, they want to gravitate in your direction, which is very cool, and one of the reasons why is that you're very nice, you're affable, you're friendly, you always have a sense of humor, and quite honestly, actors have a tendency to be a bit moody. I think we both know this.
Yes, they do.
Do you find that your personality and your attitude takes you further than perhaps other people? Not to compare or to compete with other people, but do you find that it works in your benefit more in this industry?
You know, there's nothing more enjoyable to me than seeing people smile. And, you know, I still, you know, serve in bartend tables, and I actually really enjoy it because I like seeing people have a good time. It really just makes me happy. And, you know, I always believe no matter how bad of a day I'm having or anything, there's no reason to ever project that on somebody else. And I just, you know, doing a red carpet and just people want to talk to you and just be around you and seeing them happy to have that opportunity, it's so filling. And, you know, there's no better feeling. And that's, to me, one of the biggest parts about being an actor and why I want to be an actor is I just want to make people's day better. I just want to see people smile. You know, we're in a world where there's not always the best things going on and people have, you know, hard times. And it's just great to see, to bring some joy to somebody's life. And, you know, should always be able to do that no matter what.
That's a great attitude. So you right after phase two, we went into Spook, the TV miniseries where you played Jonathan. So you went from movies to episodic television here. What was that experience like?
Oh, that was great. That was with Steve Borzicello, who's he's kind of in this group as well. He's kind of mixed in. I doubt you've ever met him. I don't think anything you've worked on with us, but he's a good friend with Jason Sanders and all them as well. That was really great. That kind of came up as another comedy where I played a vampire, like a more innocent sort of vampire that winds up moving in with two roommates, and it was a lot of fun to do. And yeah, we almost got it picked up. It got some nice rounds going on, and just didn't work out, you know. But it was another good experience, and, you know, more comedy, obviously.
I see $20 million, you know, shows not make it, much less, you know, another show. So
yeah,
House of Cards
exactly.
Almost didn't get picked up by Netflix, you know. So we're working up your list, and you got so many things like the Blackwater Vampire. I want to know about these things because that's quite kind of a leap there. So how was that? How was filming that film? I'm looking at this stuff right now. It's hilarious to me. So it's a documentary film created by. So tell me about it, please.
Yeah, I worked with a gentleman. This came up too because of improv. A gentleman named Jesse Baget, who I had met going on just a random audition. Great guy who's also, you know, been in my life a couple times. He was the one that got me on board with Day of the Mummy as well. Went in and did a completely improvised reading for him. Worked out very well. He asked me to come in. He actually had me help him with the rest of the casting process on that film. And yeah, that we filmed that up in Big Bear. That was my first tough filming experience. We filmed up in Big Bear, and it was like the middle of December, and it was just freezing cold, and we were filming it, you know, all hours of the night, and snow up to my knees, which is probably like most people's shins. But just freezing cold work environments and running around in the forest. It was a lot of fun, but that was definitely the most tiresome, trying film I've done up to this point. Horror movie, you know, it was a found footage style. So having that whole just running around in the woods, being free and crazy was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
You've compiled a lot of different acting gigs in such a short period of time. If anybody checks out your IMDb, they'll see that you've actually compiled quite a list in a short period. What do you contribute to that? Do you attribute, you know, your drive, your loving for the atmosphere or for the craft? What is the thing that drives you?
Yeah, you know, I've been very fortunate. I'm going to give it up to that, just good fortune. Pretty much everything that I've done has, you know, derived from a single place. Everybody has called me in for stuff at this point. I mean, the only things that I've really stretched out to get picked up for something new would have been Phase 2 at the very beginning, and then Blackwater Vampire. Past that, everything else has been people calling me back to work with them again, or somebody calling me from an offshoot of something else to come work on that project, which is great, and how I'm seeing, you know, that's a great way that it works for you. You know, so many things came out of Phase 2. I mean, I can say the Deadlines came from Phase 2, the Lackey came from Phase 2, you know, Brick Madness came from Phase 2, Home Free. It's just crazy how it all, you know, just everything's just an offshoot of something else.
So it is who you know to a certain extent, and who you are with those people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, Naked Zombie Girl came out of that as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I've heard a lot of very successful people say. It says, don't burn any bridges. Keep the bridges that you have and keep on moving forward. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I find a person like you, which is difficult for a personality like mine to be like, quite fascinating because, you know, the energy is very high and it wants people to hire you. Because I've seen a lot of people who are very, very talented who don't get callbacks. And one of the reasons why is people just get a weird feeling off of them, or they don't like them very much, or they want somebody a little more friendly when they're hanging out with them, like for 12-hour days.
Yeah.
Do you think about that before you go in for an interview?
Well, it's interesting because I do commercial work as well. And, you know, I really enjoy the commercial side as well. But my biggest gripe with the commercial side is it's so, like, you're in and out. And I feel like I do much better going into, you know, film auditions because I can spend time with the casting director. I could talk to them. You know, I can get to know them and show some of my personality. Commercial work, you go in, you do this, and then you're gone, and the next person's in. You know, it's very just, right. They're looking for a look. They're looking for an immediate type. There's no connection, you know? And, you know, like, I've been blessed with some commercial work as well, but it's just, it's such a different game, and, definitely the film side I like a lot more because you get to, you know, use your personality and meet people and talk to people.
Right. Right. Well, growing up in Hollywood, I always saw commercials as a great cash grab. It was a great way to, you know, facilitate your ability to make movies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find commercials to be the same way? Is it the ability to pay the bills and to move forward and do the thing you love to do? Or do you see that as the same as the field you're in?
No, commercials are great. You know, if I could make just a living off of doing commercials all day, it'd be wonderful. But there's one thing you're going to learn from doing commercial work is you need to grow thick skin because you are going to get rejected a lot. You know, there's a lot of auditions. There's a lot of people going in for it. And, you know, when you don't have that opportunity to really give your personality, it's all based on what you can give in that moment. So, you know, you get turned down a lot. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. You know, I have a very thick skin. You could tell me all day long, you know, that you didn't like anything about me. It doesn't bother me at all. So, you know, if you don't have a thick skin, though, the commercial industry side is going to just eat you up because it's tough.
You know, Robin, that's the only thing that ever upsets me about this particular industry is when people are upset by being turned down as if somehow they're shocked. You know, when you watch the show Lost, and by the fifth season, if you're scared by the smoke monster, you're an idiot. I mean, it's been gone for five seasons, man. Why are you so surprised? And then when you work in Hollywood and you're turned down, why are you surprised? Isn't this
why are you surprised? Yeah.
Isn't this, why are you? You know, something I tell my sister all the time. Why are you surprised by expected behavior? Of course they're going to turn you down. There's a million yous. But if you keep a positive attitude, you know how it works.
Yeah. Eventually it'll pay off.
Right? Now, if I was going into commercial, and I'm Robin, I want to go in for a commercial shoot. I'm going to try out for this commercial. I'm seeing the talent agent. I'm seeing everybody here. What should be my attitude?
Just always stay positive and happy. I mean, that's what they're definitely looking for. You know, you always have to remember in commercial world, this is my big difference. In the commercial, you're there to sell the product. In the film side, you're there to sell yourself. You know, so they're looking for the person that best fits selling their product. So you always need to be happy, positive, and just, you know, smiling face and a good time. You know, they're there for, they're looking for that energy, that immediate energy, and that person that can just, you know, that they think is best representative of their product. When you go in for film, you're like, this is me. You want me, you know, and you get a chance to sell yourself.
It seems almost like commercials are you'd be more quickly judged than you would for a film part.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, you're judged in probably about the first, you know, 5 seconds you're there, 5 to 10 seconds. As soon as you start talking, they're deciding how they feel about you right then and there. Yeah, it's.
Right.
I mean, I've been on commercial auditions that I was there for, you know, less than 10 seconds, you know. It's just, you're in and out. They're like, come in, read this, goodbye, next. You know, very few do I actually get a chance to really, you know, like shine. And then you really don't even get to deal with the people making the decisions until you get your call back. You know, your initial thing with commercials is just for some guy with a camera who's like, okay, go. All right, you're done. And then you hope the callback, because then you can hopefully give a little more of yourself to the actual casting director who will be there by that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, as I kind of see it as dating, whereas, you know, it's not the girl's fault. You're just not the right person for them. But I can see how an actor can see that as a bash. You know, the unfortunate thing I see in, like, writing is I've met several people who've written solid books. And they don't want to publish it because they think publishing is the way it used to be. And when I look at filmmaking and when I look at acting and when I look at commercial shoots and what have you, I see it as the same thing. You're going to be turned down a lot more than you're going to be accepted. But once you're accepted, that's such more of a benefit. And to get a bad attitude, So are you doing more commercial work now? Is more commercial work coming in your lap?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get a lot more commercial auditions. You know, I'm represented commercially, which is wonderful. Theatrically, I still don't have representation. It's been quite the run trying to get that going, but, you know, it's a tough gig to get that. You know, there's a lot of theatrical agents out there. I wouldn't say there's a lot of ones that are worth my time at this point, you know, because there's still a lot of auditions I can get myself, and until I can get, you know, somebody who I feel is, you know, reputable and can actually benefit and help my career. You know, I'm still putting the feelers out on that side. So, you know, I definitely get a lot more commercial auditions. I'm out usually about once or twice a week for commercial stuff. So.
Right. Well, what's interesting is most people don't even have this kind of resume on IMDb and they already have representation. So
It's funny because, you know, I even know a lot of people that have representation that don't have much, you know, going on, but they're also not getting out. So, you know, I'm not going to put my effort into – I'd rather put my effort into getting my own auditions at this point than be with somebody who's not helping my career at all either. You know, there's a lot of people that are just sitting by waiting for you to book something and then go, oh, yeah, you owe me 10% of that.
Right. Which is insane, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane. So are you're actively looking for an agent, but as looking by your IMDb, I think that you don't really need one right now necessarily until one wants to jump on top of you.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I'd like to get some of the bigger ones. It's just, you know, from my experience and for the agents that I want, it becomes that whole, you know, they're like, well, what two major TV shows have you been on? How am I supposed to get those auditions if I don't have an agent yet? You know, it's that whole, you know, entry-level position, 5 years experience required. Yeah, and it's like, none. So, you know, they're all looking for that person that already has experience where how do you get the experience if you can't get the bigger auditions yet? So, you know, it's kind of stuck in that middle ground right now.
Right. It's interesting. Directors used to have that same problem. So they went through music videos and what have you in order to go into the big, like Antoine Fuqua, who directed Training Day and what have you. Now, he directed music videos before he ever did movies, so he had to go through the medium through a different angle in order to get there. So I see a lot of actors doing a lot of commercials in order to get into films, in order to get into this. So it's an interesting play. It's a little different than it was maybe 20, 30 years ago, where you can go from shows, commercials to movies and back and forth.
And that goes back to that whole, you know, don't burn bridges, because you don't know who is going to just, you know, make that transition tomorrow. I just did my first music video for one of my dear friends, and, you know, the director of that, he was absolutely wonderful, and it's just one of those things where who knows, you know, like tomorrow he could get a huge film and call me back, or you know, doing a commercial, you go in, you make everybody happy, you have a good time, because one of those guys could, you know, just get a big film and go, let me call him back because we had such a great time working with him. You just don't know, you know, it's that kind of industry, you know, somebody's nobody yesterday and there's somebody tomorrow.
Right. I remember I was working on photo shoot for a wedding magazine, and two women didn't show up, and the directors told me, he was, do you know any pretty women? I went, absolutely. And I gave a couple people a call, and they didn't believe me almost. It was a $3,000 day to wear wedding dresses and take photographs, and they almost did not believe the thing I was telling them. They're like, well, I'm busy right now. I'm like, it's $3,000 just standing here for 5 hours. Are you serious? But
you know,
they just didn't.
Oh, sorry. Not to interrupt, but it's just, you know, I've worked, you know, restaurants out here the whole time. And, you know, that's the kind of the job you get into when you move out here. And I've seen so many quote unquote actors that just, there's a lot of people that like to talk about it, but don't do it. And that's, I'd like to say that that's surprising to me, but one of my biggest things is people are like, oh, you know, it's a tough industry to get into because there's so many actors out there all trying to do the same thing. And in my head, having seen it, there's a lot of people talking about doing it, but there's not a lot of people doing it,
right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
The work ethic
totally
is
makes
very
sense.
Low. Yeah. There's so much, like, just bottom-level work ethic of, like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to make it somehow. I guess, you know, I'll just show up one day, and then I'll be a big star, and that's it. And I don't have to try very hard.
Oh.
There's a lot of that. I've seen a lot of people pack their bags and have to go home because they just can't, you know, they can't handle it.
I've seen people pack their bags and go home after making a movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's insane. Like, what are you doing? Oh, it's never going to work out. Not with that attitude, it's not.
Exactly. And there's a lot of that self-defeatist attitude, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you got a chance to do another comedy, which is Dear Diary Flipped Out. What was that experience like?
That was with a wonderful friend of mine, Janae Ault, who, you know, she called me in for that. How's her name? Janae? I can't even remember anymore. I got so many. I'm trying to remember everybody's connections at this point. But that was just a nice, fun video short that I did. She's such a great person. I've always been a big supporter of mine as well, and we finally got to work together on that. Met a wonderful man named Ron Bush, who's the writer-director on that one. Just, you know, more good people all around.
Nice. And this is more about a man in the world. All men want to get laid. They want to find the hard one. When it comes between Chrissy and her Apple iPhone, which is actually more of a modern tale of love.
Yes, exactly. We had a lot of fun on that one.
That's a scary. That reminds me a lot of Her, where, you know, it's a scary world where your dates are no longer looking at their watch. They're looking at their iPhones. So that's your true sign of, like, somebody not into you.
Oh, gosh, I see that every day in my life.
So you went to this, and you went to Naked Zombie Girl, and we had Ricky Bird on recently to talk about Naked Zombie Girl, and I'm also very proud of him to be at the Chinese Theater and to be showing at all these horror fests. It was really fantastic to see that thing come to fruition. He played Dead Harry Cooper in that short film. So tell me about your experience on Naked Zombie Girl, directed by Ricky Bird Jr.
Well, first off, I want to say, you know, we were just talking about bad work ethic. You want the complete opposite of that? That's Ricky Bird. Ricky Bird is the most hardworking, you know, person I've ever met in my life. Ricky Bird is just go, 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 go all the time. That guy doesn't stop. I don't know how he does it, but kudos to him. Ricky Bird is an inspiration for sure. And, you know, all the love in the world for Ricky Bird. Naked Zombie Girl is a blast. You know, I drove up, you know, really late at night because it was a night shoot, and he asked me to come up and do the spot for him. And drove up with a buddy of mine, and we came up and and, you know, filmed all night. That was my first experience with getting I've never worn contacts in my life, so they wanted me to wear white contacts. That was a fun experience. Right. that was a kind of creepy, you know, when you're not used to doing that. Nick Reisinger, bless his heart, had to help me get those in. And, you know, probably wasn't the most fun experience. If you don't know Nick Reisinger, I'm sure you do. He's worked on so many of the films as well, doing the makeup for everybody. Such a talent.
Hey, Nick Reisinger's done a lot. He's been on the show. He's also done a lot of our films that are coming out very soon. He's a great makeup artist. So he's sticking these white cubes into your eyeballs.
Oh, God. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever dealt with, you know, contacts like that, but they're huge. So not only is it my first experience trying to get contacts in my eyes, but these things are massive, trying to shove them in there. But eventually it worked out, and it looked so great. It's one of my favorite clips to watch of myself is coming over the hood of the car and, you know, climbing up on the window because everything just looked so good. The lighting was great. The scenery was wonderful. The makeup was so great. It gives me chills to watch that one. I love it.
That's awesome. When I saw the Chinese theater, I was, and that is incredible to me, where you have that audience there, people are there to watch you, you have the makeup there. How did it feel to be part of something like that? That, you know, a lot of our dreams are coming true, whereas the lackey played at Quentin Tarantino's theater over there, which is, you know, something you definitely desire, especially since now that they transferred all the film and all the digital. So if we released the lackey now, we can do it at Quentin Tarantino's theater. And then we showed Naked Zombie Girl at the Man's Theater, Chinese Man's Theater in Hollywood there on Sunset. Were you there for that grand opening or for that red carpet?
I was not at the Man's Chinese Theater when I actually had to film that day. And it was just bad timing. I didn't get to go to that one. Yeah. I was very, very, very sad about it because a lot of those people I haven't seen in so long, like D.T. Carney, you know, who I would love to have run into because it's been, you know, been so long since I've seen them. But, yeah, unfortunately, I did not get to go to that one. And what an opportunity to see that on such a great screen. So was definitely a missed moment in life.
Well, when's the first time you did see it? Which theater, which red carpet did you actually be able to see your film?
I was the Naked Zombie Girl. The first time I saw it was the the film festival.
Horror Fest?
Which one was it?
It was the Horror Fest, wasn't it?
Yes. That was the first.
So what
did
you
first
think?
Time.
When you saw it,
it was great.
Did you think?
Oh, it's so great. It's that nice, you know, it's that throwback style that was just, it was done so well to what Ricky's vision was. It was, you know, spot on, I feel like, to what he had even pitched at the beginning of what he was looking for. He did it so well and just nailed it. You know, and that's the thing. It just goes back to Ricky's work ethic. It's so, you know, inspirational to see him, you know, because people will tell you, like, this is the vision for the film and, you know, sometimes, you know, it usually shows up around that area. You know, you get within the parameters there, but Ricky nailed it. It was exactly what he described to me, and, you know, I'm just so proud of him for that, and I hope it becomes, you know, I know that there's talk about making it a full length, so I really hope that works out for him.
Well, he told me about Naked Zombie Girl back when I went to go see Phase 2, and I was very, very happy to hear that news. He is an incredibly hard worker. When he worked on The Lackey, he would not only acted, he not only did locations, he busted his hump for everything that people needed. It's very hard to find, right? It's very hard to find people that are like that, but also skilled at what they do. It's easy to find people that are sycophantic. It's easy to find people who desire things. It's easy to find people who have a modicum amount of work ethic. But it's difficult to find people who have all those qualities. Well, maybe not sycophantic, but have all the qualities and have the ability to actually be a good person and work extremely hard in their field and be good at it. And that's what I find about Ricky Bird.
Yeah, he's such a rare, amazing talent. I mean, just inspiring all up and down. I mean, all of those guys are, you know, Sean, you know, such a hard worker, Jason, such a hard worker. It's great being surrounded by such...
Ethan Carney, great guys.
All of them. Just when you're surrounded by such, you know, amazing, hardworking people, it's infectious. You know, you just keep pushing as well.
Didn't I see you in a picture with Lauren Parkinson recently that you were doing a project together?
We're not doing a project together, but she has. I do a full-time improv show now every Tuesday nights, and she's one of the most, you know, honest, amazing supporters of my entire life and my career. Yeah, so she comes out to my shows every Tuesday, and sits in the front row and just has
Tuesday.
A great time.
Hold on, let's stop this conversation right now. Let's put the brakes on. Okay, you have your own show. Tell me about this, please. We want everybody to go.
Well, it is an improv show. I have an ensemble cast. It's called Yeah, and we perform every Tuesday night at the Straight Jacket Society on Santa Monica Boulevard. I could look up the exact address. I don't know off the top of my head right this second. But we go on at 8 o'clock.
Straight Jacket Society.
Yep. This is the most fulfilling improv team I've been a part of. They're such amazing people. When I was talking about my coach, Brian O'Connell, he had a vision of putting together a team. He wanted a year's worth of commitment of practice before we had our first show. And we did that. And we had our first show the end of December. And it was so well received that we got picked up for a full-time slot after that first show. And we've been performing, and we have a full-time running show now. And she's come out to, all but one of the shows so far, and sits in the front row and is just such a great supporter. Yeah.
She's such a great girl. I love her acting. I love her personality. She's a great gal.
Such a great gal. Yeah.
So your group is called and it's,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Just agreeing.
And we can go on about Lauren Parkinson all night long. I have zero problems about that, by the way. Because she's the one who shows up to the red carpet. She's the one who always has a smile on her face. She's the one looking beautiful. When I have to beg other people to show up, she just shows up. She's very friendly. She has her laugh, which I love to death. By the way, have you ever heard Lauren Parkinson laugh, by the way, boys and girls? Our great audience who's listening today. To me, she has one of the funniest laughs, one of the greatest laughs, because she's original, and it's obviously authentic, and she just bursts out in laughter. I mean, you should hear me laugh. I sound like a penguin dying. but I love that girl. She's incredibly friendly and a great worker and a great actress, and she works very hard. I very much admire her. But let's go back to that. So your group is called Yeah, and it's called Straight Jacket Society. And you play mm-hmm. Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock.
What club is it? Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. And what club is this in?
The place is called the Straight Jacket Society. That's the club.
Okay.
I can get you the address if you want to know it as well. I'll look it up. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
It's a great. It's free to come in. It's a BYOB. It's all donation based, and it's a good time. We've been packing the house, so if you come in, come early, or otherwise just become standing room because we've been filling up before 8 o'clock every week. So, yeah.
Nice.
How's it been like? Oh, it's been great. Been so well received. There's four teams that go up every Tuesday, so we're the first slot, and then there's three after us. It goes on for about an hour and a half. Each team gets about 20, 25 minutes, depending on, how it's going. And, it's just such a fun night, and it's another one just surrounded by such great people. Keep seeing the same people showing up every week and just so supportive. And it's, just growing bigger and bigger that week. So, yeah.
That must be incredibly fulfilling.
Oh, I love it, I've been on a handful of improv teams in my life, and this is definitely, up there with the best. And, I had talked earlier about Mark from Phase 2 and how we used to have a show. That would be, my second favorite show I've ever been a part of. We used to do a two-man show, just him and I. Talk about stress and, doing improv for a half an hour with just two people. But there's just no better feeling.
Tell me about that experience because, I didn't know that you and Mark knew each other before that, but you guys did a two-man show very much like in the old days where people did two-man shows. Was this improv the entire time? Non-scripted?
Improv the entire time. Yep, non-scripted.
That's insane.
Mark and I had met at IO West. We had been in some classes together, and the gentleman who ran IO West, James Grace, he was our teacher at the time, and he had recognized us and goes, you guys have great chemistry. You should do a two-man show. And at the time, it was super intimidating, and we were still young, and he was like, I'm going to help you guys get a coach and everything, and you should get this going. And he was 100% right. We did our two-man show. I had the same coach then for that two-man show that's my coach now, Brian O'Connell. And man, it was such a great experience. Him and I, it always clicked, and we did a lot of shows together. Unfortunately, he has, a full, I guess, not unfortunately, good for him. He's married, and he has 3 kids, and he lives pretty far away. So it just got to be a lot, having to come out every week, with his kids and everything. But when Sean was casting for that role, he had asked me, do you know anybody who, has a French accent and can act and all that? And it didn't click to me, but my roommate had, he brought it up. He goes, Mark always does this French accent on stage. I was like, yeah, he does. Like, it just comes out of him. He would just do it. It would be, in his bag of things that he would do. And it always made me laugh. And, I got them talking, and Sean had him send in an audition and loved it and picked him up. Yeah.
Nice. Let me ask you this. Are you looking forward to using your improv knowledge in your future acting career?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no shortage of when that comes up. Everybody, especially more and more and more in this town, people are looking on your resume for improv experience. I feel fortunate that I got in on it early, so I have a long history of it.
Right.
But it's just becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and people want it more and more and more. It seems like, it's just like any audition. It'll be like, improv experience required, yada, yada. So yeah, now everybody's jumping on. And that's why schools UCB are blown up.
Well, the project I want to get to was Brick Madness, and that's something that's coming out very soon, right?
Yes. Yeah, that was with Justin McAleese, who, once again, from Phase 2, all the way back to those days, he was the cameraman on there, and he had wrote his own movie. He asked me to come on to that. That was very... very much fun. It's a Lego movie, which, I guess I don't know if I should say Lego. It's a movie about building blocks.
Right. About building blocks.
Stacked on each other, that type of idea. But it's a mockumentary style, very much in the vein of like a Christopher Guest movie.
Right.
Yeah, and we filmed that up in San Jose area and Fresno and, up there. And such a great time, and that had people from Phase 2 as well. Matt Albrecht, who was in Phase 2 with us, was in there, and good time.
What I love is your name.
Cedric.
No, I know. I've seen a couple things, but your name is Cedric, which is making me laugh so hard right now. I'm just thinking Cedric the Entertainer. That is awesome. Yeah, they call an underdog must defeat the arrogant National Bricks Championship to reclaim the charity and claim the name of fallen champion. And it's a mockumentary, a lot like Looking for Guffman or things like that. That's a very interesting plot line. I did see a little bit of it. I found it very interesting.
What's nice and what I really appreciated about Justin's vision for it was, at no point did he ever want it to feel like it's making fun of anybody. And I feel like that's what works so well in Christopher Guest movies is it's very real, no matter what the subject matter is, it's always very real to that world, and you're never making fun of anyone. And he did such a great job with that and making sure that everything stayed grounded and made sense,
Right. Now, he wasn't in the film, or was he in the film as well? Did he act in it as well?
He does appear in it as well. Him and his brother, Ian. Yep. They're both in it.
Nice.
One thing that I found just hilarious. Have you seen the Lego movie?
I have.
Okay. When it cuts to the live action stuff with Will Ferrell.
Uh huh.
The young kid who plays his son is actually in our movie as well.
Really?
He's in Brick Madness. Yeah. And that blew my mind. I remember I was sitting in I had no idea. And I'm sitting in the theater and I'm watching it. And I was like, oh, that kid looks familiar. But then it clicked. I was like, oh, wow. Like, what a – that was just completely random. But, yeah, he plays the son to Will Ferrell in that, but he's in our movie as well.
That is awesome. That is totally awesome.
Completely random. Actually, I'm looking at the kid's IMDb right now. It's the thing at the top, so there's Brick Madness on there. But, yeah.
You've done so many things. Your career is just jumping off the rails. And we can literally talk to you for hours, but – let me ask you a very simple question. If I'm living in Nevada right now, and I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to be an actor, but I want it really bad, What advice can you give me on how to do your craft? Would you do, and also keep the attitude you keep, which is incredibly important, by the way.
You know, first off, surround yourself with great people. One thing that I've just watched in this town and can't preach enough is there's a lot of people in the world. And if you're surrounding yourself with negative people, people who aren't pushing you, people that don't have work ethic, find new friends, because there's a lot of good people out there and there's a lot of people that are going to help you and really believe in you. And if you don't have those people in your life, then you're doing something wrong. And then just go for it. I mean, it's hard to say and it's scary, but at some point you just have to just go for it. You know, one of the toughest things was moving away from home and doing that. But at this point in my life, I'm so grateful I did, you know, and I don't think I could ever go back, because I love what I'm doing. I love being here. And, you know, it just took that moment of just saying you have to do it, you know, just be positive, surround yourself with positive people.
Would that help if I surround myself around people that have like minds in me, that have positive attitudes towards life? Would that help me, at least in this industry? Because L.A. is a very strong place. I mean, it can destroy even the strongest people in the universe. But if I keep a good attitude, keep good company, that's going to help me along the road?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, I've been so fortunate with the people that I've got to meet. And, like I said, most of my IMDb comes from all the same people, but it's just people that believe in me and people that have been so supportive and, you know, that stay positive and keep that work ethic. And, you know, it's hard when you see that to not want to just be part of it. You know, when you see Ricky Bird trying so hard and you're like, well, I want to be working as hard as him, or I want to be working as hard as Jason. You know, Sean's working every day. Like, how come I'm not working every day? You know, I got to push more so I can be working as much as Sean Piccinino is. You know, you just keep pushing yourselves. You know, it's like a huge inspiration to me is Guy Grundy. You know, he's that guy who, same thing. He took a chance and just went for it. And you can't help but just be motivated by that. You see him and you're just like, why can't I do that too? I'm going to do that too. And then you just work harder and harder.
That's awesome. It's really weird because I hear you saying things that to other people are competitive notions. I see them, I see this, and I see this, and I want what they want. I want what they have. But what I hear from you is almost the complete opposite. I see these people, and I'm inspired by them to do what I want to do or what I need to do, which is actually quite different than a normal human being who actually more or less wants things from other people.
Well, it's different in my head. I mean, I've always looked at it like, I'm not jealous of, you know, Sean's success. I want all of us to have that kind of success, you know? I want all my friends to all be successful at the same time, you know? So we should all be pushing for it so that at some point we are all there together. You know, that's my idea of a great life. I would love all the people I'm surrounded by to be as successful as we all can be together. You know, what's the point of being successful by yourself? I don't know. I've never got that. I'm not a selfish person like that. I want all of us to rise to the top together would be, you know, my ideal world.
Right. That is a great attitude. We can't. Thank you so much for being on the show. We couldn't wait to have you on the show. We can't wait to see what else you're going to do in the future. Brick Madness is something that's going to come out very, very soon. But also we have your group, Yeah, on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., at the Straight Jacket Society. We can't wait to see that as well. When I come out to L.A., I want to come out with Lauren and come see you. And thank you, Lauren, for coming and showing, because I would never have seen that you were part of that group if Lauren didn't actually post a picture of it. It was pretty awesome.
I'm really bad about self-promoting. That's one thing that I have to get better at, and I'm working on. Yeah.
You know, other people are promoting for you.
Thanks to them so much, because I'm just not good at it.
So tell me, Robin, we want to be able to reach you today. We want to reach you and tell you how we love this interview and how we want to see more stuff from you. How can we get in contact with you? Through Facebook, through Twitter, through Instagram, through how can we reach
Facebook
you?
And Instagram. I think I missed the Twitter train a little too early, so I kind of just gave up on that one. But definitely Facebook and Instagram, please. I would love to talk to anybody that wants to ask me any questions, any advice I can give. Please find me on there and ask away. I'm, you know, always willing to talk and love to meet new people. So, yeah.
Nice.
People meeting is my thing. That's my life.
If I'm an actor out there in Hollywood and I want to join your group or at least try out for it or see you out there and see what I can do, How can I try out for that group out there, for the Street Jacket Society? Is it an open group, or is it a closed group, or tell me?
This group, unfortunately, is closed off, but I could definitely give you advice on where to go and how to get started and, you know, how to get more involved. I would be more than happy. You know, I've more recently had to, you know, I've been helping a friend of mine currently through a lot of that, and it's very fulfilling to me to see and help and, you know, give the advice I can and where to get started and, you know, what's been the most successful for me. So, yeah, any questions, please. Always here to talk to. So,
well, we can't wait to see you in more things. Coming from The Lackey to Phase 2 to Spook to Blackwater Vampire, The Dear Diary to Naked Zombie Girl, and going off also some things that we didn't talk about, which is Day of the Mummy, Spare Change, Free the Movie, and then Brick Madness that's coming out very, very soon. And then, of course, listen, guys, you're in Hollywood out there, boys and girls. You're out there in L.A. You got nothing to do on a Tuesday night. You know you don't. Go Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., go to Straight Jacket Society, go see Robin Steffen and see how this personality works. It's fantastic. Thank you, Rob, for being on the show today. And show up early and show up for some beer for him, too.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Robin, before I let you go, let me ask you a question. What do you see your career in 10 years?
You know, as long as I'm happy, that's all I really, you know, care for. I just hope it keeps climbing. But, you know, as long as I can just keep smiling and keep going, I'm happy now. So all I can do is go up from here, I feel like, you know. To me, it can just get better.
I cannot imagine the world not giving you everything you want, especially with the attitude and personality that you have. Robin, thank you so much for being on the show today. We greatly appreciate it. We look forward to your career boosting up.
Well, thank you so much. I very much appreciate it, and I'm glad we finally got to have this opportunity. It hasn't worked out a couple other times, so I'm glad that we finally got to, you know, nail it down. So very appreciated, and thank you for the support always.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing your shows. All right, brother. Robin, have yourself a great weekend. That's Robin Steffen. All right, boys and girls, that was a fantastic show, but I have a special guest for you today. We have the fantastic, we have the amazing Sean Paul Piccinino on the line right here. Hello, Sean Paul Piccinino.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. You've been up all night long making the trailer for the new series coming out on YouTube from Bad in the Sun and Truly in the Studios called 6 Feet Down Under, starring our greatest guy, Guy Grundy. I'm surprised you're awake right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty exhausted. I'm probably going to have to take a nap at some point today. But yeah, I couldn't. I didn't want to miss the show, and we've got to launch the trailer. I've got a couple little tweaks that I'm doing, and then we're going to launch here today, release the trailer.
Nice. So the trailer for 6 Feet Down Under, directed by Sean Paul Piccinino, and starring Guy Grundy, also with please give us a couple more names who's in the show.
We've got Vernon Wells, obviously Aaron Shurka is in it. Everybody's just so fantastic. We've got Anthony Appello, who is just killing it as his character Vinny. We've just got tons of people, a stunt crew. We got Lee McDermott, who's our fight and stunt coordinator. And he's also, you know, he's a jack of all trades, so he's helping us with everything, but he's also in the show. And we're going to utilize him a lot, playing various bad guys and obviously for his amazing stunt prowess. So, we just got the whole stunt team is amazing. You got Andre, you've got, just everybody, Lucas to, you know, just the whole crew. Everybody is amazing.
We also have Bat in the Sun that's also a part of this project as well, right?
Yeah, Bat in the Sun, amazing. Aaron Shurka is the head of that company along with his father, Sean Shurka. And they are, you know, if people haven't been to the Bat in the Sun YouTube channel, you should definitely go there. They have amazing content. They produce the show Superpower Beatdown, which I'm honored to be a part of as well because I do stunt coordination and second unit direction on that show. you know, that show.
Now, Sean, Superpower Beatdown is the one where we just did Batman versus Darth Vader, right?
Yeah, the Batman versus Darth Vader episode is insanely awesome. I mean, I suggest everybody go and check that out as soon as you can if you haven't already. It's a totally kick-ass show. And that episode in particular is unbelievable. It's like, you know, I think it's already at somewhere like 4 or 5 million views. And
wow.
It's only been out for a little bit. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Nice. Well, you know, I saw the trailer or the trailer mix that we have so far. Guy Grundy is doing a brilliant job with acting. I'm very happy with that as well. How did you feel about his acting in this first episode?
I think I've known Grundy for most of his career. You know, he claims that I gave him his first break on the show Deadliest Warrior. So I've seen him evolve from the beginning. I got to say, he has really, really been sharpening that sword. His acting of chops have come, not that he was ever not great, because there's always been that it factor about Guy Grundy, but he's really truly evolved as an actor. He understands the subtleties of playing certain nuances and I couldn't be more pleased with his performance in this.
Nice. And we were able to get Vernon Wells for this episode as well.
Yeah. Vernon Wells, well, he'll be throughout the series, playing Mason.
Wow.
Who is kind of the mob boss, so to speak. And he's such an amazing, iconic actor. We always jump at the chance to get to work with him. You know, anytime we can get him on board with the project, we don't even hesitate. It's just, he's on. So, you know, people recognize him from Commando and Mad Max all his different roles up years and Weird Science and even Power Rangers. I mean, the guy's done it all.
Sure.
So, you know, it's always awesome to have him on board. He's so professional. He inspires us all to be better with all of our performances. So, yeah, it's just it's awesome having him on board.
Now, boys and girls, you know, out there in the audience world, I mean, we were just talking about, you know, Robin Steffen, we're talking about Sean Paul Piccinino, we're talking about Ricky Bird, and we're talking about hard workers and people with ethics and morals and what have you. Sean Paul Piccinino has a beautiful wife, two beautiful children, he's got a mortgage, this guy works incredibly hard all weekend long. Last night he's doing the trailer up until 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm done, I'm going to sleep. That's craziness to me.
we all got to do it. And
right.
Speaking of Robin, that was a great interview with Robin. And you know we've got to work him into 6 Feet Down Under for sure.
Oh,
and,
that's exactly
right. And then also, yeah, and also with Ricky Bird, we're going to have him come in and guest direct on an episode because we love him and want him involved. And I'm sure we'll find a character for him to play as well.
Yes.
So I'm just really happy to have all these fantastic people involved.
You know what was very interesting about the shoot was all people involved with 6 Feet Down Under were incredibly nice. And that's incredibly hard to find for, like, because I'm supposing what you want to do is, what, a 10-part YouTube web series? Am I correct on that one?
Yeah. The first season, so to speak, which is what it is,
right.
We're doing 10 episodes. And they'll all be roughly 10 minutes long. And at the end, you'll have, you know, the overall story, which... You know, we're exploring our options of distribution and what we'll do at the end of that season. We can release it all, obviously, as a complete season. But we might also toy with the idea of tweaking some of the edits and making it a feature film. But we do have plans to go beyond the first season. The overall story arc does extend, you know, past that. So, obviously, the goal would be to roll into a season two. And you know, we have several tiers of goals with this thing in mind, but... you know, one of those being landing on Hulu or Crackle or Netflix even, and just doing this series for as many seasons as we can.
Right. Let me ask you a question. What inspired 6 Feet Down Under? The title brings me straight to Australia, and it brings me straight to death as well. Because 6 Feet Under and 6 Feet Down Under, both of them make two different, you know, senses there. Tell me if you can as much about the show as possible.
Well, I think the show was born out of you know, a lot of creative people wanting to create something really cool, and Guy Grundy initially came up with the idea, and we all brainstormed titles and then settled on that one. But the original story came from Guy, and he really wanted to have certain elements happening in the show. And then yourself and I kind of figured out how to utilize those elements into a storyline, and then going back and forth with Guy, kind of whittled down where the story is going to go in this first season. And so it's really just born out of, certainly life experience with Guy. He's lived a very colorful and amazing life, and has done, from being, a champion bodybuilder, two-time Mr. Australia, to a cage fighter in Japan, to collecting money for big wigs here in the States, and running security for huge nightclubs. And so he's just got this vast variety of life experience that we obviously, when tooling these storylines, we just pulled straight from him, because he's got all these stories he can tell us, and he's got the scars to back him up too. So a lot of the inspiration comes from his life, and then going, obviously, taking it to a whole nother level with hitman and assassins and espionage and backstabbing. And it's a very cool and fun premise to be able to play with.
So for this show, we're going into the criminal underground.
Yeah, criminal underground, and extends even beyond that to government, to private investigators, to, like I said, there's espionage, and some good examples that you and I were discussing early on, and with Guy as well, it's having that tone and that vibe from, something from like the Luc Besson era, like The Professional or La Femme Nikita, the original. And then combining that with like Jason Bourne, and moving into even other territories like The Departed and Infernal Affairs, as the originals were.
Yes, wow, that's fascinating. So you already filmed the first episode. You're getting ready for the second episode. I understand you're writing that right now. So for the first episode right now, it's already in the can, and you're just finishing up the trailer. What can we expect to see the trailer? And by the way, boys and girls, you can see a mock trailer right now on Truly Indie Studios Facebook, as well as I believe their Instagram, as well as their webpage. So go check out the trailer for 6 Feet Down Under. We have a new trailer.
Oh, yeah,
when you expect for it to be on?
Well, the new trailer will
launch today. That's the opening to the show, right?
Yeah, that's the opening credits. There's obviously, that was just the initial one done. There's going to be some tweaks. We shortened it a little bit and added more names to the list.
Sure, sure.
So there's more people who helped us finish the first episode, so we've got new credits to add to it. And then we're going to shorten it down just a little bit for its overall length. And that will be the show opener for the show. And then the trailer will launch later today.
Fantastic.
Just waiting for a couple clearance issues, and then we'll be good.
And how can we find the show? Can we find the trailer on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on the webpage?
Everybody listening, go check out 6 Feet Down Under on Facebook. If you type in 6 Feet Down Under, you'll find it. If you just do the facebook.com/6feetdownunder. That's our series page. We are currently working on a website as well. The YouTube channel, Bat in the Sun, which is, like I said, amazing channel. Everybody should go and subscribe there. There's no reason not to. It's just all fantastic content. We have episodes of 6 Feet Down Under that have 15 million plus views. So obviously, the gentlemen at Bat in the Sun are doing something right.
Yeah. Fantastic. So We're going to look at all the sites today. Everybody's going to keep on going. By the way, boys and girls, when the trailer comes on, I'll definitely post it on our website, on all of our things, so you'll really know about it. Sean Paul Piccinino, if we want to reach you later on, how can we get in touch with you? Because after we see this trailer, I'm pretty sure people are going to want to talk to you and have a conversation. How can we reach you or see what you're up to?
Obviously, Facebook is the best place, and Twitter, Instagram. You can follow me on any of those. And that's the best way to get the updates on all of our projects. We have several seemingly always happening. Just look me up on Facebook, Sean Piccinino. Again, facebook.com/SeanPiccinino. You'll find me, or just search my name, and you can find me on all of the various social media.
So 6 Feet Down Under is a series that we're looking for, directed by Sean Paul Piccinino, the fantastic and the incomparable Guy Grundy, who's starring in this episodic show. It's going to be on, most likely going to be primarily on YouTube, but we'll see where distribution is going to go. Sean, would you like to end with anything else to promote the show or to promote yourself?
No, that's about it. Like I said, just try and find me on social media, and please, please go follow the show, and you won't be disappointed. Lots of fantastic people involved. It's fun action, and just a blast. So I hope everybody tunes in.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you very much for being on the show. We greatly appreciate it, and we're so looking forward to the trailer coming out today for 6 Feet Down Under, starring Guy Grundy and Sean Paul Piccinino, directed by Sean Paul Piccinino. So we cannot wait for that, Sean. Thank you very much for calling in today.
All right, thank you.
All right, Sean, have a great day. Well, that was fantastic. I hope you enjoyed the show today. That was I got off to a little bit of a rough start there getting in. It was one of those, I haven't been on the air in maybe a month thing, but that felt great. I do like the show. Why don't you go ahead and email me, find me on Facebook. You can find Cinema Files Radio on Facebook, as well as Twitter, as well as Instagram. Well, Instagram will be Steve Pizza, P-I-S-A, Steve Pizza, and you find me there. There's no reason to have something else. You can find me on Twitter, find me on Facebook, find me on Instagram, find me on all those things. That was a great show. Robin Steffen, great, great guy. I can't tell you enough how difficult it is to find nice people who are also very skilled or talented at a young stage in their career. That's important to say. That's easy when you have $18 million in the bank and you're ready to take over the planet Earth. But when when you're Chris Pratt, Chris Pratt is a great personality. One of the reasons why is he doesn't have to look back anymore. But Robin Steffen, his career has just started off. So when you see all the movies, and when I say nice, I mean nice. Really nice. Guy Next Door, nice. It goes a long way. I first met him in the Lackey, and I found his personality to be very, very affable, very friendly. And I thought to myself, I would love to use him in the next film. And then whenever we talk about films, we talk about using him every single time. Every single time. Reason why? Nice guy. Works well. Listens to instructions. Does his own thing at the same time, respects your opinion. And that's what you want from an actor. You can find him in the Lackey movie where he plays Gerard Baptiste. You can find him in Phase 2 where he plays Eric Sampson. See him in Blackwater Vampire. You can see him in Spooked. Look at his IMDb. Next thing coming out right now is Brick Madness for him. And you can see him in his group called Yeah! Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. at Street Jacket Society. Lauren, thank you so much for posting those pictures of him and promoting them. That's fantastic. Robin Steffen, thank you very much for joining us today. We greatly appreciate having him on there today. And for Sean Paul Piccinino, for him being on today, it was fantastic. Telling him about 6 Feet Down Under. He worked so hard on that show, directing it, working with Tony Warren on the cinematography, working on Lee to get some of those fight scenes down, get him down, working on Guy Grundy, teaching him how to be a producer, teaching him how to write, teaching him how to do certain things. It's fantastic. Yeah. A man who could be nice, work hard with everybody, work hard with himself, work hard with his family, and still has the ability to mentor people who need a little bit of guidance in the world of Hollywood, especially for a person who's worked so hard like Sean Paul Piccinino. It's very sweet. When you see this trailer, 6 Feet Down Under, I want you to see it, and I want you to enjoy it. I want you to watch it over and over and over again, and I want you to watch the series. It's going to be a 10-part series coming out very, very, very soon. Thank you very much for everybody for joining us today. I like to end the show always with a little bit of inspiration, personally. Now, the one thing I love about being out here or being where I'm at right now is, in Los Angeles, what I would do is I always look out the windows, and there'd always be a sense of danger or unknowing or what's going to happen or violence in some cases. It's L.A. You don't know what's going to happen. I moved away a little while ago. I'm going to move back sooner or later. But when I moved away, it was very different. When I looked out the windows, the only thing I can see were bunnies. You see your occasional coyote. You see your occasional dog. See your occasional cat. See your occasional raccoon. But the number one thing I see out here are bunnies. The one thing I've come into understanding in my life is that I love bunnies. I love bunnies. When I can look out of a window and see a bunny hop by, it makes me happy. I came in today to do my radio show. You know, you're trying to bring up your mood. You're trying to bring up your attitude. You look at that bunny, you're like, I love you, bunny. I love you, bunny. Because it's one of those things of the simplicities of life. Of looking at the simple things of existence. Enjoying what you have. Enjoying what you know and having love in your heart. And just going forward with it. It's so important. You're listening to Robin. You're listening to Sean Paul Piccinino. You're wondering why they're successful. They have that attitude. They have the love the bunny attitude of love what you have. Love who you are. Love where you are. It's incredible. And you see how successful they are at it, at life, at happiness. They're winning at happiness. So these days I'm going to call it loving the bunny. I hope you have a great week this week. Please go watch a movie. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your life. Go watch Six Feet Down on the trailer. Go watch Robin Steffen at the Straight Jacket Society on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. And I'll see you next Sunday for another great episode of Cinephiles Radio with your host, Steve Pisa. Thank you very much for listening. God bless you all. Have a great, great day.